Go ahead.
I'm Rusty, and this is Linda Miller. We're happy to be here, and I did want to say I just appreciate all the prayers that you guys have prayed for us over the past, and we're just so blessed to be a part of the body of Christ, and we just love being here, and you got a wonderful pastor, and I know that there's a stirring, I think, I'm pretty sure, in this church, and I know that it's for a good thing, and God's going to do miraculous things, and as Moses says, he stirs up, the eagle stirs up the nest, so will God stir up his people. And I know that there's a transition in coming, and it's for the good. So just keep the faith, and we love you guys.
I was like, was that prophecy? Yeah. That felt like it was prophecy. Did you know, you weren't even at prayer meeting, were you? No. Did you talk about the eagle thing at home? That's crazy. All right. Those of you who don't come to prayer meeting, sorry, you're out, you're lost. There's a word that I got about the prophetic and an eagle. I'll tell you about it later. That was confirmation, anyway.
Yeah, but you don't know how miraculous that was.
You're right, I don't. Could you tell me?
Yeah. I will take over. Wow, like I could cry. Okay, so my husband was like really traumatized when he was little. Mm. So parents don't push your children to go on stage if they don't want to. And he has never been able to speak in public. He just can't. But his heart has been to be able to speak. And we've had a vision of him speaking. And last night I got some revelation as we were talking, and I just prayed last night, and I prayed again in my quiet time. And he said, "Do I really have to speak?" And I said, "No, you don't. I'll do it." So this is.
So that was actually an answer to prayer.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you were able to share in front of a group of people into a microphone.
Yeah.
Well, good job, buddy.
Yeah, it was. Very good job. So yes, we're. This has been a huge change. We moved here from Florida. Rusty was born and raised in Laws and Cannon. I wasn't. And I feel like God has put on my heart that something that happened so very long ago, like a long, long time ago, where it left me really judging the Mennonites. I wasn't raised Mennonite. I didn't know anything about the Mennonites until I started dating Rusty a very long time ago. But he has given me so much revelation these last couple weeks after having a sozo. I just can't seem to stop getting revelations and visions. But what I realized was the day that I walked into, I don't know if it was here or Laws, really. Okay, it was Laws. I was really young and dumb, and I was dressed very inappropriately for a Mennonite church. I was really dressed inappropriately for probably any church, the truth be known.
Thanks for being honest.
Big hair, jewelry, yeah, lots of jewelry. But, you know, I had met Rusty's family. I knew how conservative they were, and I didn't respect that. I walked in here with a hard heart and sat in judgment for years over Mennonites. And God has just shown me so clearly that I was the one that was judging.
Wow.
I was the one sitting in judgment. Mm-hmm. And now here I stand, taking the membership oath in a church that I really didn't, if God had told me then, that I'd be here now. Yeah. Yeah, wow. So.
It's ironic, isn't it?
It is.
God's funny like that.
Yeah, he is. But things have changed, not just for Rusty and I, but, you know, we see after having been gone for such a long time, it is so different here. And that is so good.
Hi.
Well, I debated about what I was going to say for a long time, and after that, I'm not sure I should say anything, really.
You come over here.
I'm Butch or Willard or whatever. Either one is fine. And Tammy, my wife, my wonderful wife. If you know our personalities, I've often described to people, we approach life a little bit the same way we approach getting into a swimming pool.
I know where this is headed.
I come up to the swimming pool, and I might, you know, see how warm it is or cold or whatever, and then, you know, eventually slide in. Well, that just won't do it for her. She's got to dive in, head first, you know, every time. And we approach life like that a lot of times. So when it comes to kind of an understanding of who we are in Christ, and I actually a few years ago had done a study on Romans, and have kind of understanding a little more of who we are really in Christ, that we're really sons, that there's really something that takes place. It's not just something we do, but it's we become. And she was kind of in a desert place. And so I kind of was there, and then before my eyes, I've seen my wife transform. If you've known her for a few years, you know, you would testify to that. And one night, I was having a little bit of trouble with all this. I was saying, God, I it's easy to see how you can love somebody like Tammy, but can you love somebody like me? You know, I'm just hesitant and kind of fearful and just, you know, timid and whatever. And so she said, well, just ask God. So I did. I said those words out loud. I said, God, can you love somebody like me? And he said two words to me. And God often will, don't take a lot of words to say an awful lot. But he said, like John? And instantly my mind went to the story when Peter and John were running to the tomb. John got there and looked in, and Peter came busting right in and just went right into the tomb. And it was like, that was so personal to me, because we know that John was the one that the disciple that Jesus loved. And boy, that spoke to me. And it was after that I realized I don't have to be like somebody else. You know, and I want to encourage everyone here, you be who God created you to be. You don't have to be somebody else. God loves you, and he created you the way you are. He wants to take that. I just appreciate this congregation. I thought it would take a while to feel at home, but it hasn't taken very long, maybe like a couple weeks.
Little did I know, 9 months ago, when I stood at the back of the sanctuary at Greenwood weeping because of my best friend was leaving, and I felt terribly angry at God that he would finally let somebody behind the walls in my heart and then just take them away. Didn't really take them away, but anyway, little did I know that not even 9 years later I would join her.
Months.
Took 9 years. It was not 9 months, it was 9 years. Yeah,
oh,
they've been
okay.
Here longer than
I
that.
Get it.
Sorry.
Okay.
Also, to lay to rest, I attended Greenwood about 28 years ago, and there aren't very many people here that were there then, but there was a rumor going around that I went to Greenwood to get a guy. I was 19 years old. It worked.
Would you recommend to the young ladies they go
no,
to Greenwood?
No, that's okay. It just worked for me. God doesn't always work the same way in everybody's life. So
well,
it just so happened at that point in time, Greenwood had most of the guys.
Yeah.
And we didn't, and the ones that were here were taken. So it worked. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, and that's not why I stayed. We've enjoyed our time at Greenwood, and we're looking forward to growing here. My journey, like he said, was very, very much of a desert. a lot of wounds, a lot of daddy wounds, and not necessarily from my dad necessarily, because I don't want to paint him in a bad light, but just a lot of lies that I believed about God. I'd created just exactly what Tim described. He was arbitrary. If he spoke to you, that's because he chose to speak to you, and he didn't choose to speak to me. If you felt his love, that's because he said he's going to love you, and he's just not going to love me. And I believe that. And I was really this close to deism, just the belief that, yeah, God created the world, but he removed his hands and expects us to kind of muddle through on our own. And I can remember being very, very, very angry at times when people would share testimonies of how they experienced God's love that week, or they prayed that God would just reveal to them his love, and that day somebody comes. And I can remember one day getting home, and I think I threw my Bible across the floor. I don't know if it was my Bible or something, because I have a tendency sometimes to, I don't so much anymore, but just, yeah! And whatever was in my hand was what was released from my hand. And it was a desert, but toward the early stages of that desert or somewhere on my journey, I remember hearing a story of a man who wanted to know God, who wanted to know the love of, who wanted to know God, so he went to a rabbi. And I'll shorten the story as much as I can. He went to the rabbi. The rabbi took him out into a lake about shoulder high and shoved him under. And the young man struggled to get free, gets his head up above air, up above water, gasps for breath, and he shoves him back under again. So they have this wrestling match until the young man feels like he's dying. Like he basically has to fight for his life. And he thinks the rabbi is going to actually drown him. And finally the rabbi stops and looks him in the eye and says, "When you are desperate for God the way you were desperate for air, you will find him." And I said, "God, I know that difficulties make us desperate for you, and I'm not against difficulties, but I want to be that desperate for you." Whew. And he shoved me under. And I cannot explain to you. There is a good reason that despair is the root word for desperate. Desperate is the act of feeling despair. And despair is a very lonely feeling. It was isolated feeling. But then a healing moment came to me when, in a sozo, and I don't remember what I was talking to God about. I don't remember what I was asking him, but I remember seeing a picket fence. On the other side of the picket fence was a man who knew to be God playing with some children. And I was led to ask, "Can I come in? Can I play with you guys?" And the man said, "No, you're a piece of trash." So we went through some more healing, renouncing of lies, and I came right back to that fence again and said, "Can I come in now?" And the man knelt down like this, spread his arms out. And I was able to walk through the gate, and I ran to him, and he ran to me, and he picked me up, twirled me around like this, and pulled me to his chest. And I have not once since then doubted that God loves me. There are times that I don't hear his voice because I'm not a feeler. I don't feel. Anybody here is not a feeler, that's okay. That does not mean that God is not speaking to you. It does not mean that God can't use you. It does not mean that you're not special. It's okay. We don't all feel. I'm just starting to begin to feel because I squashed feelings as a child. So if you're not a feeler, that's okay. And if you're in the midst of that desert, don't be afraid to ask that question, "God, I want to be desperate for you." If you're seeing people enjoying communion with God, don't be afraid to ask that question, "Then Lord, make me desperate for you." It will be the loneliest, most difficult. I cannot describe to you the dark nights of the soul you'll go through, but when you get to the other side, when he finally does reach down and take hold of your hand and pull you to his chest, there is nothing like it. And all the dark moments, all the tears, everything faded from you. It didn't fade so far that I don't identify with those who are there. I know what it's like to go through there. But he answers the cry of the desperate.
Here, hold this. Become centrally located. First question, do you testify that you are a fallen sinner who has received the grace of God and repenting both of your sin and your righteousness, by which I mean self-righteousness, are daily seeking to set your hope fully on his son Jesus, who loved you and gave his very life for you? Do you accept the Holy Scriptures as the very words of God, the final authority for belief and action, and by God's grace, do you dedicate yourself to follow their instruction to the best of your ability? Will you seek to pour yourself out in love for Jesus, for his precious blood-bought church, and for the world he came to save? Congregation, do you recognize the holy charge that our Lord Christ has entrusted to us to love and disciple his most precious possession, his very own people? If you wish to show that you joyfully receive these before you into membership with this congregation, please stand at this time. I was going to introduce also the Sozo ministry today, but let's do it a different time. I want Bobby to be here for that. I mean, is that okay with you guys? But she has a ministry that we endorse. It's called Sozo. It's a prayer, inner healing ministry, and it's, I like it. But I want you guys to stay around there by the cross so that at the end people could come up and hug and bless you. Is that all right? And then I want to make sure I pray with you before you leave. Okay? All right. Welcome to the family. Love you guys.